Hello and welcome to Introduction to Meteorology at the University of Hawaii at Manoa with Dr. Jennifer Griswold. Thank you for joining us. In today's lecture, we're going to talk about air temperature, how we report it, how it fluctuates through a 24-hour period, and what controls it on a regional and global scale. In preparation for today's lecture, you should have read through the first half of Chapter 3 from the Aaron's text. Today, we're going to talk a lot about temperature and why it's important. For the general population, temperature is the first thing we usually think about when we talk about weather. Temperature at a specific location varies on different timescales, from seasonally, daily, hourly, and even minute by minute. At any moment in time, temperatures vary substantially all over the globe and are continuously changing. First, let's think about how temperature changes over a 24-hour period, starting with the simplest difference, day and night. On a sunny, clear day with little wind, the air near the surface of the Earth can be substantially warmer than the air a meter or so above the surface. This is due to surface heating, conduction between the ground and the air molecules closest to the surface. Meteorologists locate their instruments in shelters about 3 meters above the surface, so they record a temperature characteristic of the air not directly influenced by conduction. On clear, calm nights, the air near the surface is much colder than the air above. This is called a temperature inversion, where air temperature increases with height. This is due to radiation cooling of the surface. At night, the ground is no longer receiving energy from the sun to keep it warm, and the rocks in the Earth's surface emit energy in the infrared long wave range. This loss of energy causes air in contact with the surface to cool quicker than the air above it. Over a 24-hour continuous period, temperature changes gradually. There is a minimum in temperature right before sunrise. Since there is no solar input, lots of infrared radiation is radiated away during the night. The more time that is allowed for radiating away the energy, the colder it gets. That's why it's coldest just before dawn. At dawn, the temperature starts increasing due to the input of solar radiation. As the sun increases in angle, more energy is received by the surface and the temperature goes up. During this time, you have both solar energy as an input and the input of infrared radiation from the surface. This causes the daily maximum temperature to occur after noon. You might have thought that the maximum temperature would be at noon, since that's when we experience the highest sun angle. But it takes time for the sun to heat up the surface and then for that surface to emit the IR and then heat the atmosphere. This lag causes the peak temperature to be after noon. We essentially max out our daily temperature when incoming solar radiation equals the outgoing infrared radiation. After noon, the outgoing infrared is greater than the incoming solar radiation, and the overall temperature decreases until it reaches its minimum just before dawn. As humans, we care about temperature on different timescales that include daily, monthly, and annually. Let's start with daily. The daily mean temperature is the average of 24 hours of measurements. This can be done hourly, minute by minute, or simply be calculated by adding the maximum daily temperature and the minimum daily temperature and dividing by 2. I'll give you an example of the second method. If my maximum temperature for a certain day is 96 degrees Fahrenheit and my minimum temperature for that day is 42 degrees Fahrenheit, I would calculate the daily mean temperature by adding 96 and 42 to get 138 and divide it by 2 to get a daily mean temperature of 69 degrees Fahrenheit. We can also think about the daily range of temperature. This is the difference between the maximum and minimum daily temperatures. So using my same maximum and minimum values as before, 96 and 42, I would simply subtract 42 from 96 to get a daily temperature range of 54. We can then look at the monthly mean temperature. This is calculated by adding together the daily means for each day of a month and then dividing by the number of days in that month. For example, I take the daily mean temperatures for every day in February and add them together and then divide by 28 days. Say I added together a full month in February data and got a sum of daily means equal to 1,216. After dividing by 28, I would get the monthly mean of 43.4 degrees Fahrenheit, a reasonable value for a location that experiences winter in February. We can calculate the monthly range of temperatures in the same way we do for daily, except we use the maximum average daily temperature and the minimum average daily temperature. For example, say the maximum daily average temperature in February was 56, and the minimum daily average temperature in that same February was 33. The monthly range of temperature would be 23 degrees. We can also calculate the annual mean temperature. In a similar fashion to what we just described, we add together the monthly means and divide by 12. For example, if I have already calculated the monthly mean temperatures for the 12 individual months of the year for a location, I can sum them and then divide by 12. If my sum came to 766 and then I divided by 12 months, I would get an annual mean temperature for my imaginary example location of 63.8. An important way to determine the seasonality of a location is the annual range of temperature. This is the difference between the warmest and coldest monthly mean temperatures. If my warmest monthly mean temperature is 95 and my coldest month's monthly mean temperature is 25, my annual range of temperature is 95 minus 25 or 70 degrees Fahrenheit. It gives you an idea of how different the warmest and coldest seasons are in a location. Before we talk about our next topic, I'd like to give you the next extra credit fact that will appear on the midterm. Death Valley has the highest U.S. temperature record of 134 degrees Fahrenheit. There you go, that's your next extra credit tidbit. Moving on, now that we have an understanding of how temperature is recorded and reported, we can ask what actually controls air temperature and causes it to change besides the location of the Earth around the Sun and the rotation around its axis. These factors include differential heating of land and water, ocean currents, altitude, geographic position, and cloud cover and albedo. Let's start with differential heating of land and water. Many of us have experience with this idea. Different surfaces absorb, emit, and reflect different amounts of energy. This causes variations in the air above each surface. In general, land heats more rapidly and to a higher temperature than water. In general, land cools more rapidly and to a lower temperature than water. This can easily be seen from space using satellite technology to measure the Earth's surface temperature across different surfaces. Variations over land are greater than over oceans. This is an obvious but important fact to mention. The land surface has more variety due to the presence of trees, human structures, and streets, and the differences between agricultural and urban environments. You may be wondering why the ocean is less variable in time and space. This is quite complex. First, the surface temperature of water rises and falls slower than land due to properties of water that we'll address in a moment. Second, water is highly mobile and mixes easily. Think mixing red and blue dye, turning it purple. Third, daily temperature changes occur down to about 6 meters or 18 feet. Fourth, oceans and deep lakes experience yearly variations through a much larger layer between 200 and 660 meters thick, meaning from the ocean surface to 200 to 660 meters below the surface. That's deep. That's storing energy deep in the ocean. For land, we can also explain why it is more variable in time and space. First, heat does not penetrate deeply into soil or rock. It remains near the surface. Second, rocks are not fluid, so there is no mixing, which would allow the heat to be transferred deeper into the ground. Third, daily temperature changes are seen only about 10 centimeters down, in comparison to 18 feet or 6 meters in the ocean. This is a huge difference in how energy is stored between the ocean and land. Fourth, yearly temperature changes reach only about 15 meters into the ground or less in comparison to the 200 to 660 meter depths reached in the ocean. Let's consider the differences between land and ocean in the warmest and coldest seasons. During summer, a thick layer of water is heated while only a thin layer of land is heated. During winter, the shallow layer of rock cools rapidly while the deeply heated water takes longer to cool. As surface water cools, it becomes heavier and sinks, and is replaced with warmer, less dense water from below. This means that the surface temperature of the water doesn't appear to change much, even though it is still releasing energy. Another difference between land and ocean is opacity. Because land surfaces are opaque, heat is absorbed only at the surface. Water is transparent and lets energy from the sun penetrate to a depth of several meters. A special property of water that is also responsible for the drastic differences between land and water heating is its specific heat. The specific heat of a substance is the amount of heat needed to raise the temperature of 1 gram of something by 1 degree Celsius. Water has a specific heat that is 3 times greater than for 1 gram of solid rock. What that means is that the oceans require more heat to raise its temperature the same amount as an equal quantity in grams of land. Another factor is evaporation. Evaporation occurs more frequently over oceans than over land. There's just more molecules of water available to evaporate over the oceans. The energy used to evaporate some of the water is then not used to heat up the remaining water. Basically, when energy is used to evaporate water, it is not available for heating or changing temperature. You'll remember that this ties back to the idea of latent heat and that there is no temperature change during a phase change, like going from liquid to a gas. Given the information you've heard, which hemisphere, north or south, would have larger temperature variations and why? The answer is the northern hemisphere has greater variations in temperature than the southern hemisphere. This is due to the fact that there is more ocean than land in the northern hemisphere. Plus, there is little land to interrupt oceanic and atmospheric circulations. Thus, the southern hemisphere has smaller variations in temperature overall. We're not going to have time to go into the other factors that determine temperature today. We'll address the influence of ocean currents, altitude, geographic position, cloud cover, and albedo on temperature in the next podcast. So that finishes up our lecture on temperature and an introduction to the main factors determining regional and global temperatures for today. Thank you for listening, and I hope you join us again for our next podcast. Goodbye!